It is my hope and prayer that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. You know, it's still Thanksgiving weekend, and that's why even tomorrow people call Cyber Monday. I mean, people are still going to, doing the shopping, everything, and many of us now shop online better. We don't want to deal with the line. So my hope is that you have, I can see already some of you had a great time because I saw on Facebook, you know, people, families getting together. That's what the season of Thanksgiving is all about. We want to give thanks to God for bringing us all together as a family and, you know, just to be united. That's an amazing thing. You know, gratitude, I don't know if you knew this, but gratitude doesn't come natural for us. Gratitude is one of those things that you had to work at it. You know, for instance, one of the first things that we're taught when we're kids is to say thank you. You know, mom and dad, it's like you always tell the kids, what do you say? Because, you know, it's like they just see the gift. They forget about us. Like, we always try to instill in the kids, what do you say to have this attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude? So because, you know, in today's age, you know, we have kids growing up, they feel entitled for everything. You know, and even adults, like, oh, this is, especially in the United States, because we have rights. You know, we always feel we have a right to say what, and it's like, and so we, because of our rights, sometimes we tend to forget that we are to thank God for giving us the rights. We thank God for giving us what he has given to us. So gratitude doesn't come natural. Like I said, William Arthur Ward said, feeling gratitude and not expressing it, it's like wrapping a present and not giving it. So you feel gratitude, but you don't even say it. It's like you wrap a present, but you never ended up giving it to that person. It doesn't come natural. So in our nation, at least, you know, in the United States of America, we have a day in our calendar, at least, that we try to, you know, to be grateful so that people understand. Like, let's be grateful and thankful, at least in November, you know, the fourth Thursday in November. So we have a Thanksgiving Day that people, but you know, I had a friend, I don't have to tell you the name, but you know, it was sad what he said to my family. He said that he invited his sister to for Thanksgiving, but she asked, are you guys going to watch football? And then he said, no, I don't watch football, but I'm not coming. It was sad that you cannot go and spend time with family because the rest of your family doesn't watch football. And it's like, so I thought Thanksgiving was about the meal and the coming together. No, for her, it was what you're going to have on TV that day. Then I can come. And you know, that's, you know, again, the feeling. And then he said to her, but don't come then. You know, I don't watch football, so that's why you want to come. I thought you came to see me. So don't come. He told him. It's like, wow. You know, but I thought, again, we have a Thanksgiving time weekend that we can just be grateful and thankful for what we have. But it doesn't come natural to us. We have to work at it, to be grateful, to say, people, thank you. Now, what do people do to show others that they're grateful? I mean, you know this. What do we do? I mean, sometimes one thing you can do is just say it. Thank you, man. Thank you. For, you know, just sometimes we send thank you cards. How you show others you're grateful, you tell him or her. Sometimes people bake goods. Other things that you do, in which you show gratitude, you give gifts, you exchange gifts, like thank you, you know, I cannot pay you, but here's a pie that I just baked for you. Like, I just want to show you how much grateful I am for you, for what you did for me. So some of the things that we do, and you probably, perhaps you're thinking about many other ways that people, ourselves included, we do to show others how grateful, to show others gratitude. Some people sometimes, they compose songs. I want to dedicate this song to you. No, not now, you know, I'm not singing right now, but, you know, people dedicate some songs to others just, you know, as a way of thanking them. Or when they fall in love, this song is right for you. Hear the lyrics. This is my heart poured out to you. That's how you're showing them. You know, in the Bible, people did the same. You know, sometimes people wanted to show God how much thankful they were. They would bring God offerings, grain offerings, barley, wheat. They would bring God animals. You know, like, God, thank you for blessing my cattle, and here's the best one for you. Everything that you gave me, they would do that. There were people that they would write songs to God in the Bible. In case you didn't know that, there's a whole book of the Bible dedicated to songs. You know what book is that is? Psalms. Psalms is translated song of praise. So people dedicated songs to God, and they would just, you know, they, and so through the songs, they were expressing God their gratitude. They would express God, even their feelings, whatever it is they were feeling at that time when they wrote the songs. And so now we have a book in the Bible. I mean, the largest book in the Bible is all about songs. The writers express their emotions, attitude, and experiences in life. When you read the Psalms, you will find one of the categories that we have, there was some of praise, some of lament, some of wisdom, and some of thanksgiving. And it's easy for you to identify. A song that starts, give shout to the Lord. What do you think? What category was? Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Praise. The one that Solomon read today, give thanks to the Lord. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's Psalm 22. So now I just gave you, I just opened a whole thing for you. When you're reading the Psalms, like, oh, let me see if it's lament, praise, wisdom. How can a young man keep his way pure by living according to, I mean, there's so many, there is like wisdom and things. So you find those things, praise, wisdom, lament, and thanksgiving through the Psalms when you're reading them. And I'm going to show you one today, 136. It's all about thanksgiving. And they're like six. I got my Bible, and I didn't want to do Google. I said, I'm just going to sit down and flip through the pages, some by some, to see how they start. And I found, I think, six of thanksgiving. Solomon gave us one today, the 106, 107 also, and 118, 136. So, now, 136 is one of those used to express gratitude to Yahweh. Now, give thanks. There's Psalms that start with that word. Give thanks to the Lord, 75, 105, 106, 107, 118, and 136. And I'm going to use the 136, and I'm going to read the whole thing. That Psalm is also responsive because it has the phrase, for his love endures forever. Some translation would say, for his mercies endures forever. So if you got your Bibles, Psalm 136, that's going to be... The writer starts and said, give thanks to the Lord for his good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And the whole thing continues going like that. And it goes, verse 4, in him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. Now, you guys want to do his love endures forever. I'm going to read the part, okay? You ready? The moon and the stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the desert.
His love endures
forever. Who struck down great kings.
His love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites,
his love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan,
his love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance,
his love endures
to the God who understands, to the God who remembers us in our Lord's day,
his love
and freed us from our enemies,
his love
and who gives food to every creature,
his love
and all together now, give thanks to God of heaven. His love endures forever. You know what we just did? That's how they used to do it back in those days. They call responsive. You know, David or Asaph will lead and the whole congregation will respond. I mean, you know, sometimes a lot of churches in 50 years ago, they used to do it a lot through the services, responding. So here's one that, you know, you start reading, his love endures forever. It's almost like, I don't want you to miss that. His love endures forever. So we just read the whole Psalm. 136. one of those Thanksgiving psalms in the Bible. And again, just every time a psalm starts, give thanks to the Lord. He's calling the readers, the audience, to give thanks to God. Why, you might ask? I mean, the author is right there. Why should you give thanks to the Lord? The first thing he says, for he is good. Solomon was talking about that today. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And by the way, God's goodness does not depend on your opinion, in my opinion. He is good. Like Solomon was talking about, whether you lie, whether you believe he is good or not, he is good. He cannot be bad. Because that's one of his attributes. That's one. You know, God is a lot of things through the Bible. And there's a lot of things God cannot do. He cannot be bad. He cannot sin. He cannot lie. You know, he's holy. He Solomon was talking about those big words that we use, like he's omniscient, omnipotent, you know, all powerful. He can see all things, but he is good. The goodness. And you see God's goodness throughout the Bible displayed all over the place. So the psalm is inviting us to give thanks to God because of his goodness. He is good. He's a good God. And even at times when we think like, you know, I feel that life is not fair right now, but God's still good. I mean, sometimes it's hard for us to understand that, but the man who's writing the psalm can teach us a lot about the goodness of God, because he went to the struggle. He was in the midst of the storm, and he's still saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. James reminds us in the book of James in the New Testament, he said, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadow. That's what Solomon also touched about, immutability of God. He does not change like you and I. We change our mind all the time. I mean, we change what, you know, even clothes when we're putting them on. It's like, oh, no, I look better on this one. We change all the time. God does not change. He doesn't need to change because he knows already the beginning and the end. He knows everything. And the psalmist said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And every good and perfect gift comes from him. I love the writer in Psalm 136, because look what he says. Verse 4, to him who alone, give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. The God of gods. God is above. I mean, people make gods anything. We talked about that today. But he's above all the gods. There's no God like him. This is what a king in the Bible named Nebuchadnezzar came to the conclusion. You know, in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar had thrown to the fiery furnace three men because they refused to bow down to a statue that he had made. So Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, if you don't bow down to my statue, you're going to be burned alive. So he threw him out in the fiery furnace, and then God intervened. There was the angel of the Lord appeared. Nebuchadnezzar is like, okay, hold on. Didn't you guys throw three men in there? I see four. And the appearance of the four looked like the gods, he said. And then, you know, later on he realized, you know, he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. They came out. And then he made a decree that anybody who would not worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be killed. But Nebuchadnezzar said these words in Daniel chapter 3, verse 29. There is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. When he saw how Yahweh rescued these three young men, Nebuchadnezzar the king said, no God saves like this God. And then he wanted the whole nation now to worship the God of those three young men because they took a stand against the king. No God saves like Yahweh. So he is above all gods. There's no one like him. Now we see the goodness of God. We see his love throughout creation. Look at the following verse when he talks about to him, verse 4, to him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens and the whole universe. So we see God's goodness in his creation. By the way, when you read Genesis 1 and 2, there's the word. Everything that God created was what? Good. Because that's who God is. God is creating, what God is doing, he's everything that he created is reflecting back to his goodness. Everything that he made in the universe, the Bible says it was good. And then when he created mankind, the Bible says it was very good. Because mankind was the pinnacle, was the paramount thing that God created. It was the most beautiful thing. Because God gave his own image. So everything that God created, it was good. Genesis 1 and 2 is all about the goodness of God. And then later on, chapter 3, something bad happens that it tarnished the goodness of God in us. Sin entered the world. But you see, prior to sin, everything that God creates is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And the Lord made the lights. And He saw it was morning, it was evening, the third day, and the Lord saw that it was good. It's reflecting His attributes, who He is. The Lord is good. He alone does great things. His goodness and love is reflected in His creation. Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4 says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. Give thanks to the Lord. Why should you and I should be grateful? Because He is good. And He's always just. He's always right. My friends, you and I need to understand something about God. We cannot place God in the same ball field that we play. We cannot place God into our box. Sometimes we have a problem because we think that God is like us. We should be like God, not the other way around. But we make God into our image. Like, well, you know, God will understand. It's like, and we tend to be just, I mean, we make God into our own image. No, He made us into His image. So we need to reflect back to our Creator and not the other way around. Like we see happening in our society today. When people say, well, I don't want to worship a God that would do this. I don't want to worship a God who send people to hell. And they forget about that God is a God of justice. The absolute justice of God cannot even compare to any nation on earth. I mean, He's always right. And you see that in the next verses in the psalm we're reading. God's goodness is seeing His righteous judgment. Verse 10 through 20. It said, to Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them. And then He goes on and says, with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. And then He goes, to Him who divided the Red Sea and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the sea. You see what God is doing? All the things that He did. I mean, we're familiar with the story of the 10 plagues in Egypt. People will read that. It's like, I would never worship a God that would do that to people. I mean, He's just drowning the whole army of Pharaoh, and they forget about the other part, that God is rescuing His people. God is the God of justice. So His goodness, He's good even when He's pouring out judgment on people and justice. Look at that. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt. Why? But you got to go back and read the story. Why is it that God, one thing you learn about God in the Bible, God would never punish anybody without giving them a chance, without warning them. Everywhere, God's sending warning to people, but they did not want to listen. How many warnings did God send to Pharaoh, by the way? 10, at least. 10 plagues. He said, let my people go. And then He changed His mind. And finally, with the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh had no choice, but just like, finally, why does God have to send you 10 bad things for you to get Him? You know, sometimes we're like that. Like, you're not getting God. And eventually, He's going to send you something and get your attention. What did God have to do to Saul of Tarsus for Saul to change his mind? He had to knock him down and blind him for 3 days. And I always was like, I hope that I don't have to get to the point that instead of listening to God the right way, that He has to do something on me to get my attention. I mean, you see that through the Bible. But He does that because He is just. He struck down the firstborn. He poured out judgment on Egypt and the enemies of Israel. Because again, I mean, we know that in the Bible, when you come against God's people, you really getting yourself a death sentence. Because coming against God's people is like coming against God Himself. You know, and so there were enemies that the Israelites had. And who fought Israel's battle? Yahweh. You know, David said, the battle is the Lord. You come against me, but I come against you, against the Lord. I mean, you're coming against God's people, God's going to judge you. And that's what happened to the Egyptian. That's what happened to some of the kings that the writer talks about. My friends, you also see God judge His people in allowing them to go through the wilderness. God will let you go through storms. You know, and He does that out of righteousness for you. 40 years in the wilderness, the Israelites were going, and through that, they went through a lot of time. drought and hunger. God allowed them to go there. And again, we know the Bible says that because of his great love, God will discipline you and I. His discipline is part of his goodness. Because he loves us, he will discipline, the Bible says in Hebrews 12. In fact, that's how you know that you're legitimate children of God, when you experience God's discipline. God will discipline the Israelites when they misbehave, when they did other things, because God said, you're going to be my people. I have a standard for you. This is what you do. When you violate my standard, there are going to be some consequences. And you know the story of the Israelites. How many of them made it to the promised land? It was the third generation who made it. Some of them fell because they violated the Lord. So he disciplines, and he wasn't going to change his mind. He told them, I place before you blessings and curses, and it's up to you which one you want to walk into. So we see the goodness of God even in his righteous judgment. Even Job, you know, one time it's like, man, this is the Lord. I mean, you know, why are you smiting me? I mean, it doesn't feel right, because we don't know the mind of God. But we see in how he judged people, how he disciplined his kids. He struck down the Egyptian, verse 10, and later on there's two kings by name that God struck down because they came against the Israelites. Sihon and Og. You see, God's goodness and everlasting love are evident in his care for his people. He showed them his love, protecting them, providing for them, fighting for them through the wandering in the desert. That's how God shows his love for you and I as well. God's goodness and love are shown in what he does. He says he alone does great things, verse 4. It is evident in what the Lord does. Give thanks to the Lord for his good. His love endures forever. He alone does great things. And everything he does is out of love for you and I, even when we're getting disciplined by him. You know, parents, I mean, kids don't understand. I didn't understand when I was a kid. When my mom and dad would discipline, I thought, oh, you're hating me. You're hating my guts. They do that out of love, because if they did not discipline you kids, you end up being a bad person tomorrow. And I'm grateful today, hear me out, I'm grateful today that my mom and dad, my mom reminds me of my dia. I had to run away from my mom. My dad never really, you know, but you know, growing up in a Hispanic culture, it's like they give you pow pow. That's what it means. Because, you know, why does God have to give you pow pow? Because sometimes we're not good. Like, so we have to be reminded. And the Bible talks about the scripture itself says it corrects us and trains us. You know, if the coach, even when you go to you've been trained by a coach, if the coach will let you do whatever you want, you will never end up being that great athlete. Sometimes they have to come and tell you, hey, you need to work harder at this. We don't want to hear that sometimes. But God will do the same thing. He will discipline us. And the Bible says in Hebrews, discipline doesn't feel right at that time, but it will produce a harvest at the end. Parents that don't discipline the kids, and you wonder why we have prisons filled with, you know, criminals and things. It's like, it's all, you know, it's not the system. It starts at home. You know, but sometimes we don't get it. You know what I mean? And I don't like that definition when people say it takes a village to raise our kids. That's true. But the village that we have now, I don't want to raise my kids in that village. I want to raise them in my village. You know, later on when they're adults, they do their own thing. But while we have him, we train him with discipline. God does the same thing for us today. So he does that because he loves us. His goodness is evident. His love is evident in what he does. God's action on your behalf should cause you and I to always, always be grateful to him. To show gratitude to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. You see, my friends, when you and I understand who God is and his love and his mercy, then we won't have any other choice but be grateful. David called him the God of gods, the God who is good, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whose love never fails. We've seen that. Your love never fails. Now, check out verses 23 through 26 when he says, to the one who remembered us in our lost state, his love endures forever, and freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever, and who gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. The one who remembered us, even though God disciplined the Israelites, he never abandoned his people. You see, that even though they were going through a really tough situation, he remembered us when we were really, depressed. He remembered us when we were in the storm. God does that. He doesn't forget about you. The prophet Isaiah, the Israelites were saying, the Lord doesn't care about our situation. The Lord has forgotten us. And the Lord sent Isaiah to tell the Israelites, haven't you heard? Don't you know the Lord is the everlasting God? Like, you had no idea who God is. And that's why you right now running around like, oh, Lord, why are you allowing that to happen? God is still right there. He has not abandoned you. For whatever reason, he's letting you go through that. Because at the end of that storm you're dealing with, there's going to be a harvest of righteousness for his glory. And the Israelites experienced that. Here they say, yes, we went through the wilderness to him who remembered us in our lowest state, in our affliction, in our bad circumstances. He remembered us. He remembered what has been done to us. Remember what we have gone through in this life. And then he says, to him who freed us from our enemies. Yes, we had a lot of enemies traveling in the wilderness, but the Lord freed us. He delivered us. He rescued us from our enemies. To him we should give thanks for what he's done. And then look, and then it goes, he gives food to every creature God provides for his creation. There's a worldview. Deism said that God created the universe, but he abandoned it. He doesn't care. You know, people do whatever they want to do. In the Christian worldview, the God we worship, he created the universe, but he's very attentive to it. He's involved in the creation. So look, he's providing for the creatures. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. The Heavenly Father, you have a Father who feeds the birds and he knows the grass of the field. Wouldn't he feed you, you a little faith? He says, he's your Father. He's going to take care of you more than he will take care of the birds. And he's already taking care of the birds and the grass. So he will also take care of, Jesus said, why you don't have any faith? Remember when he said, why did you worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink or wear? Isn't life more about than clothing and food? Look at the lilies of the field. God's dressing them up. Look at the flowers. That's God doing it to him who does great work. Look at the birds. They don't work. Well, they don't have a salary, the birds, God feeds them and they store. And we can learn so much about the insects and things. Who's doing all that? God. I love that movie, Bees. Because if they stop doing their job, life will be hard. I don't think we can live without the bees doing their job out there. And everything is being connected. God rearranged everything. There's an order in the universe. Who's doing that? God. Why? Because he's good and his love endures forever. He's in charge of the creation. He feeds. He provides for you and I jobs. And he provides, food for our tables. And the psalm is writing, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. We see his goodness in your life. We see his love in everything that we go through because he does that because he loves us. And that should be always a reason why you and I should be grateful to him. He gives food to every creature on earth. He provides for the creation because his love endures forever. His protection, his provision are reasons that you and I should always have for us to be grateful. Now, whatever you're going through right now, let me ask you, are you showing God how grateful you are for what he's letting you, for what he's allowing you to go through? Are you showing God how grateful you are for his provision in your own family, in your own life? He is good. His love endures forever. And it is displayed in his care for us, how the Lord would care of his people. His judgment and disciplines to those who oppose his ways. He remembers us. He rescues us from our enemies. He provides for us. You see, when you get to experience God's goodness and love, it's almost like you have no choice but to be grateful. When you get to experience the goodness of God and his love, how great really he is, you have no choice but to just worship him and say, thank you, Lord, for who you are. That's what you see. That's what you read in the Psalms. That's what you see even people when they were thrown into the beast, doing those, when the Christians were being persecuted, there was a man that told them, you need to curse God. And he says, I will never do that. You can kill me, but God has not done anything to me but good. And I could not curse the king who died for me and loved me. And it's almost like, wow, everything we go through in this life, God is in it. And our provisions, everything that he gives us is because he loves us that much. We talked about God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still being bad boys and girls, Christ died for us. He did that out of his goodness because he loves you and I that much. My friends, I don't know what reasons you might have to thank God, but I think you can start with that one. He is good all the time, and his love endures forever, and he will provide for you. He will protect you when protection needs, and he will fight your battles because that's the kind of God that we worship. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.